Today we're taking up Psalm 15 in our Psalm per Day series. If you turn to your Bible, chapter 15, Psalm 15, I'll read it through. It's only five verses. It's a Psalm of David. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. So this psalm, we get the doctrine of practical righteousness. David speaks here in verse 1 of who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell on thy holy hill. Now, David was, of course, writing about the temple and coming into the presence of the Lord in the temple or the holy hill that his son Solomon eventually would build. But we don't have a temple on earth. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. But for the Christian, it's, you know, coming into his presence in prayer, or actually having the Lord's manifest presence in one's life. There needs to be practical obedience, practical godliness. Now, but we want to make this very distinct, very clear, though, that works do not give us a righteous standing before God. These two different things, our state and our standing. Our standing is absolutely by God's sovereign grace. It's the work of righteousness that the Lord Jesus has accomplished, for he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. We get that in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, that God reckons the believer now righteous. He declares the believer righteous. We have a righteous standing before him, completely and solely upon the work of the Lord Jesus. And our works have nothing to do with that whatever. We get that, of course, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, well-known verse. We'll start at verse 8, actually. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now that should be abundantly clear. But notice verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Therefore, works have a place in the life of the believer, but after we're saved. And this deals with our state. But if we're not walking in righteousness, if we're not walking in obedience, we're not going to get the manifest presence of the Lord in our life. We're not going to have communion with him. And this should be fairly understandable. I think most Christians would accept this. I would think so. I would hope so. Just turn in your Bible, for example, to John's Gospel, chapter 14. And here we get Judas, not Iscariot, asks the Lord a question. He says in verse 22 of John 14, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to the world and not unto us? And there Judas is asking the Lord and thinking, you know, the Lord would manifest himself any time. The kingdom would appear. But how are you going to manifest yourself not to the world, but unto us? Because this is what the Lord had been speaking about. And so the Lord explains it in verse 23 and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode or our dwelling place with him. You see that? He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So the Lord is speaking here. Also, if you back up to verse 21, the Lord says, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. There's two things in these verses. One, the Lord says he will manifest himself to us, and the Father will manifest himself to us. And then he and the Father will make his abode with us, all contingent upon obedience, obeying his word. Now, our standing has to do with God's sovereign grace. as I've already said, that we are complete in Him. We are have a righteous standing before Him. But if you want the sense of God's dwelling with us and abiding with us and continuing with us, having His presence manifest to us, there has to be obedience. Someone has said, happiness is the result of holiness. Holiness equals happiness. And, you know, the Lord's purpose in these chapters of John is that our joy may be full. Now, if you look at our Psalm 15, verse 2, we get three things. We get our walk, we get our work, and we get our word. Notice verse 2. He that walks uprightly, he that works righteousness, and he that speaks truth in his heart. You see those three things? There's our words, there's our works, and there's our walk. And our words have a prominence in this psalm. Once again, our tongue. Again and again, we get that. Verse 2 speaks of it at the end, verse 2. Verse 3 speaks of it. Verse 4 speaks of it. But notice the end of verse 2. He that speaks truth to his heart, to his own heart. We got to first speak truth to our own heart before we can speak truth to others. And, you know, Psalm 51 says, God desires truth in the inward parts. He desires that there be truth in the inward parts. It's no good speaking truth to others or professing truth to others unless we've not first spoken the truth to our own hearts. Speak the truth to our own heart that we're sinners, that we're incapable of working real righteousness before God apart from His grace, apart from His work in our life. That's speaking truth to our heart. That's just one example. There's many examples. But we ought to speak first truth to our own selves before we speak truth to others. Then we get, again, the sins of the tongue are mentioned in verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, he that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against his neighbor. We're called to dwell peaceably with all men, as much as lies within us, especially with those who believe, but with all men. In Proverbs, of course, we get the tongue brought before us again and again. And the Proverbs also speaks of the power of the tongue. And it says in verse 8 of Proverbs 18, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. And then in verse 21, the writer of the Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You see, we can wound with our words. And backbiting is again and again condemned in the Word of God. So Christian, how is it when we speak of our brothers and sisters in Christ, or even how we speak of others? Sometimes I see on social media how Christians speak, and you wonder, is it because of the anonymity of the internet, or what is it? And it's all, speaking evil of others and speaking evil of the authorities that are in power and backbiting against it. All these things are condemned in the Word of God. C.H. Spurgeon said, some men's tongues bite more than their teeth. And that is so true. That is so true. So let us watch our words, and let us speak words of grace and words that build up our neighbor. Now, another thing here is at the end of verse 4, he that swears to his own hurt and changes not, or he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. We should fulfilling our words. If we promise someone something, if we say we're going to do something, we ought to do it. You know why? Because God has promised in His Word to do certain things, and He will do it. And we should be like our Heavenly Father. We should speak, when we speak words, we should be ready to fulfill the promise. Often I see Christians say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, and they never do it. They never fulfill their promises. These things are to be condemned. So if we want to come into the presence of the Lord, if we want to have His manifest presence in our lives, there must be good works. There must be obedience to His commandments. Well, may the Lord help us and encourage us in this. We know we can't do it in our own strength, only as by the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives.